Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 325, the stanza 1 and 2. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly abide. Give me an understanding heart. 1 and 2, 325. Congregation, the reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found. Continuing reading the book of Romans, now the 7th chapter, verse 1 through 6. Romans chapter 7, 1 through 6. But before we listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, although she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that, being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter, till so far.
Let's speak the faith of the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's again thy day, one of the seven, the day of thy resurrection, which thy word says it's the day of the Lord, it's thy day. It's for thy purpose, for thy honor, for thy salvation, for thy kingdom. And here we are sitting in the pews, standing on the pulpit. And thou hast given us thy eternal word, but the letter kills. And if thou would give thy spirit to apply thy word to our hearts, it will be to thy honor. And therefore thy word says, unless we are born again by water and spirit, we can't even see thy kingdom. We see outward behaviors, own works, but not the kingdom of grace and glory, of which thou art king, king of kings, high priest, with the one sacrifice saving thy people from the wrath of thy Father, and prophet to teach us. Please teach us not only the letter, but by thy spirit. Add it, thy spirit, to thy word, that we might live by it. Lord, we pray for Malawi, where we have heard there is hunger, mighty flood. People had prepared their lands for the harvest. For many, there is no harvest. Even people passed away by the flood, drowned. And next thing happened to them, and we don't understand it, Lord. An enormous storm, hurricanes. Why is it, Lord? Why is it? Sometimes thy dealings are so hidden for our eyes, but we know that there is a purpose. But sometimes the purposes are even hidden. People so poor, they're suffering. Probably it's because we should help. Bless the work of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Reverend Van den Bast, and the work of Stephanus and Timotheus, relieving the poor, teaching at schools, starting businesses and farms. But without thy help, it will have no fruit. And it's thy word that need to be preached, and we pray that thou would give witnesses of it. Remember families who lost children or older people. We pray for our nation, Canada, and the United States and Europe. The Jews are more and more persecuted. What is it, Lord? Why is it? Do they have to flee to their own country? Have no place on the sun anymore? Even in the United States now, a dear friend of Israel, words of anti-Semitism, a movement loose from there. Lord, we pray for the president, although he's a sinner like me, have mercy upon him. He always thinks he did it right, and give him to repent that he didn't it always right. That thou art only the righteous judge, deliverer of thy people. That nation once, and Canada was one with them, pledged the pledge that this country would be thy country. And thou hast answered them in 1627 starting. Thou hast given many revivals even there, but 10,000 were converted. 1856 even, Lord, not so long ago. Thou art answering prayers, prayed in the east and answered in the west. For thou art the same. Remember also our country, our home country in the Netherlands. We all come from normally, yeah, not all, but it doesn't matter. We come from paradise and we're fallen. We sometimes adhere to a certain spot on the earth, but I was said, the world is my field. It's my world. Not only one country. It's the world. O Lord, pledge and please send thy spirit among us to convict, to make us pleading upon thy promises as sinners, to answer our prayers by revealing thyself to us as the all-sufficient Savior for thy own. O Lord, let not us go our own ways, please, please. Open the scriptures thereunto, Lord. Remember the poor and afflicted, those who had this week difficulties and probably disappointments, that they may adhere again to thy will. Please, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation in chapter 7 with the two things, two matters. In the first place, we see here the new man in Christ in the first 6 verses of this chapter. But now we are delivered from the law, and being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So this first 7 verses speaks about a new spiritual man in Christ, living by the Spirit. But the second part of Romans 7 speaks about that old man. Who shall deliver me from the body of sin, in the which I'm captive? Now let's make it clear. The Bible says you're 100% sin, even after grace. You're old man. I am the old man. Christ is the new man. And if you're a new man, you're a new man in Christ, moved by the Spirit of God. So 100% sin. I should not have started with 100% sin. I should have started, like Paul does it in the 7th chapter, you're 100% grace if you're a Christian. No. But also 100% sin. Now what we always want to know is having 60% goodness and 40% bad things. No. It's all of grace and it's all sin. It's all of grace. And me, it's all sin. That's gracious. So God is working. For God justifies the ungodly, and enemies are reconciled into God. And our old nature never surrenders to God. Don't tell me he does. You know it better. You don't. That old nature that never subdues to the will of God, that has to be buried and mortified, says Paul. And God does it. You don't do it. He deals with it. Secondly, we came that we died with him, says Paul, that we might live with him. We are planted together in the likeness of his death, that's 5, the preceding chapter, and we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. But how is that? How is it that we died with him and will be living with him? How is that? Well, Paul takes the example of a marriage. Christ is the bridegroom. That's an Old Testament type. You read it in Hosea, in the Song of Songs. In the New Testament, Christ speaks about the 10 virgins, the bride of Christ, the bridegroom coming. So how is it that we die with him and are raised with him? And he uses an example of the marriage. Now you see it here. Your first husband has to die, that you might be married to the second husband. And who is the second husband? Christ Jesus, the raised, resurrected Savior, that you might live by love, His love, and be fruitful in that spiritual marriage. That's what the Bible teaches you. It's a strange portion of the scripture, not easy, but it's spiritual and not fleshly to be understood. And unless you're born again, you don't even grasp anything of it. It seems to be strange. But Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. She is black, but beauty inward, by the Holy Ghost, being made new in Him. Now that's already in the New Testament, Paul says that marriage is the type of Christ and His bride, His church. So Christ and His church is the example of a marriage. Or the other way around. We'll deal with it in these six verses, the Lord's willing. But let's first think, 125, 1 through 5. That's 125, that's the bride psalm. And the bridegroom psalm, that's better to say, probably. I'm sure that's better. 125, where we will sing together. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend, for Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1 through 5, 125. Paul is going to explain how it is to be joined in his death and resurrection. And he uses the example of a marriage, a bond, a covenant bond between a man and a woman. That's clear, isn't it? It's not different. It's the bride and the bridegroom, or the bridegroom and the bride. But it's special that Christ, or that Paul by the Spirit says, "Know ye not, brethren?" He speaks to the church, his brethren, and to us. I hope you're all of it, but you need to know how you became a brother. If you don't, you're not. And he says, "For I speak to those who know the gospel." No. You think so? "For I speak to them that know the law." If you don't know the law, you don't know the gospel. Now, we all know the Ten Commandments passed, yeah, but that's not what it says here. Who knows the operation of law? When the law enters your soul, and the Spirit convicts you of sin and judgment, all God's people know this. And therefore he says, "I speak to those who know the operation of the law," that there was a time, my dear, that you couldn't be saved anymore. Condemned, convicted, lost, pleading and crying for mercy. How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. He has said already, if you pass away, the law has no dominion over you anymore. You can't sin. It's over and out. But as long as you live, the law has a ruling power over you. As long as you live. You can say, "No, yeah, I'm died." No, you know, but listen, I'm coming to it. But as long as you live your own life, the law has a power over you. You're under the law, under the power of the law, says Paul. Or under grace, that's something else. And then he takes an example of a marriage. He says, in a marriage, it's so that if you have a bond together in that marriage, you're bound together by the law. A marriage law. But if the husband passes away, the woman is free to remarry. The bond is broken. Isn't it? Don't say to me that you're not allowed to remarry. If your husband passes away, oh women, you're by the Bible allowed to remarry. But if you marry another man while your husband is living, you're an adulteress, says the Bible. So that's a bond, a legal bond. And therefore, when you're married in church, you're confessing to be faithful, to attend to the promises you make to each other. It's a legal bond. Therefore, the government establishes that bond. And marriage is love, sure. But in the first place, it's faithfulness. And you promise in the legal way that you will be faithful to your wife and your husband. It's a legal bond. But when the husband passes away, or the other way around, when a wife passes away, the legal bond is terminated. Is that clear? You're free from the law of your husband. From that bond. It's hurting you sometimes if that bond is breaking. But in a spiritual sense, that bond has to be broken to be married to Christ. Now, I have to be more clear. Your first husband has to pass away before you can marry to the second. That's Christ, risen out of death, to be fruitful by the Spirit of God, by love in the kingdom of God. We have to be dead to the law, to live unto God by grace in Christ. Paul has dealt with it in the chapter before. And therefore he says, and I said it already, so then if while her husband liveth, and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. There is no room in the Bible for divorce, unless for two reasons. Unfaithfulness, and no, let's stay with it. Unfaithfulness. That's what the Bible says. There is no room for divorce in the Bible. Unless the one party isn't faithful to the legal promise he made in wedding ceremony before the law, before the government. And some people take it today very easy, and I'm not going into details too much. They say, I'm loving, don't love her anymore, so I love another one. Nonsense! The Bible doesn't say love is the bond, but faith is the bond. Faithfulness, even if you suffer. And you can throw away that yoke, sure. We'll never have peace with it. God gave you this woman, and sometimes it's not easy to have it. Pastor, stop talking about it. No, I'm not. For the husband sometimes is more difficult than the wife. I know. But there is no room for divorce. Not at all, except one reason. But if she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. They will say to you, adulterer or adulteress. But if her husband be dead, and I've said it already, she is free from the law of death. What happens here? She's free from the law for her husband. Absolutely. Free from the law of her husband. So that she is not an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Then you can marry to another man. The Bible is clear. Let's not change it. Let's not change it. According to the wishes of man today. And now he applies it to spiritual life. He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Strange. What does that mean? You become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, what's the body of Christ? The body of Christ is the human nature of Christ. And we have dealt with it this time when we thought about the birth of the Lord Jesus. God recreated Adam. Sinless, holy. So the body of Christ is the substitute of Adam. And by nature in birth, we are united to Adam. Therefore, we are under the law of Adam. What's the law of Adam? That's the law of condemnation. Our first Adam, first husband is Adam, covenantal. Absolutely. Covenantal. Adam was the head of the covenant of creation, and he is our first husband. Spiritually. And since Adam, we are under the condemnation, under the law of Adam, under the condemnation of Adam. Therefore, Paul has dealt with it in Romans 3 already. He says, do you know the operation of the law? By the law is the knowledge of sin. We have sinned in Adam and sin in Adam. Still. We're under that bondage or bond. And therefore, Adam had to die, our first husband. And therefore, Paul says it's the body or the human nature of Christ. He didn't suffer according to his divine nature. He suffered, he was my substitute according to his human nature. He was the sacrifice, the substitute of my human nature, lost in Adam. And congregation are the wonder of wonders. If we go to the marriage, the husband says, give me the sin of my bride. Although I'm righteous, without sin, and I will die for her. And if he dies for you, you die with him. And you're dead to the law. Do you understand it, or is this difficult? If Christ is Adam, your first husband, and if he dies, you're free from the law of Adam, from condemnation and death. You're free from that law. Therefore, Christ at the cross cried out, it is finished. And since Christ died for his people, I am speaking about his people, brethren, he took away judgment and death and gives you eternal life. To set you free from the law. We call it liberty. And congregation, I'm going even further. If he dies, you die. I know that here are widows and they know what it is to leave and to lose her husband. It was your death too, isn't it? When Christ died at the cross, the sword went piercing the heart of Mary. She died. She died with him because he died for her. And she with him. That's what the Bible said. Substitute. And if he dies for you, he takes away the law of Adam of condemnation and sets you free. I say it several times, I know I say it. And then you can marry to another man. Listen. Yeah, but if you say Christ is the first man, Adam, he is the replacement, the substitute of Adam. Do you say it's an other, Christ an other? No, the word used for other is heteros. It means different. It's not Christ under the law to take away the law and the condemnation of the law. It's the risen Christ. Different, Paul says. First we knew him after the flesh. Now we don't know him after the flesh anymore. It's the risen Christ. Therefore, brethren, you also have become dead to the law. What do you, congregation, may I ask you? Has the law dominion over you? Still, are you under the law? And now I ask it spiritually and experimentally. Are you dead to the law? Do you hear what I'm saying? Or are you returning to the law? Then you're an adulterer. Has the law dominion over you? And the Bible says, if you're dead to the law, he has no dominion over you. You're righteous. I died, says Paul, by the law unto the law. Isn't it? In Christ Jesus. Now why I say this, congregation? Because we always mix law and gospel. If you're not dead by the first Adam's death in the resurrection, by the death of the Lord Jesus, you're not dead to the law. Pastor, I have to do this and I have to do that. Okay, not dead to the law then. Yeah, but I must prove my conversion. No, you don't need it. Not at all. For love doesn't need to be proved. Love is love. Are you really dead to the law? Sometimes I'm listening and I'm listening carefully. That is that a man dead to the law? Or a woman? Has he died to the law by the death of the Lord Jesus? Under no obligation, because you're under grace, and I come to you later. That's not using the liberty for your own flesh. But if the law attacks you then, Pastor, tell them, says Luther, go to the Lord Jesus, he paid it. But if you're still living by the law and by yourself, you have never died to the law by the death of Christ. And what then? Paul says, you're under the obligation, under the power of law, or you're under the power, not both, or you're under the power of grace, the dominion of grace. it's all right. Oh, my dear congregation, Pastor, I have to. But if you're dead, it's over with the after. With eating and drinking, acting and singing. Therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. I died to Adam by the death of Christ. But let's sing 124, 3, 6, and 9. 124, 3, 6, and 9. Now gird thee with thy sword, O strong and mighty one, and what's following. That you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruits or fruit unto God. In the first place, it says an other. It doesn't mean an other. Another person. For the body of Christ is the same as the other. That's his human nature. But what heteros means different. Let's make it clear. The first is Christ under the law. That's Adam. Substitute of Adam. Therefore he died, he was cursed, put to death, to hell. And I deserve it. Therefore Paul says, I speak to those who know the law. May I ask, and I did it already, but may I ask, has there come a time that you died by the law and to the law? That you couldn't be saved anymore? That was over with you? That even God doesn't seem able to save you? For you had sinned against him. If God works in your life, he cuts you off. And what can a dead man do? Pray? Ask? Work? It's over. I'm guilty. And therefore I always say you have to breath your last stroke of your lungs to die to the first Adam. And if they say that conviction helps you to be saved, that's not true. Conviction and experience brings you to hell. Put you on your spiritual deathbed. I had the privilege this week to read of Mr. Harmson, 1734, a nice book where he testified about conversions. And I was so happy to hear it. It's all the same. When you're lost, another husband comes to marry you, to ask you, be my bride. He reveals him to you. And I will be your husband. The bride never asked for a husband. In the Bible, surely didn't. The bride doesn't ask a husband. In the Old Testament, the bride is waiting to be asked. And that's good, I think. The initiative should be with the man. I think so. At least the initiative for the new marriage is with Christ. He says, I want to marry you, black woman, dead sinner. I want to marry you. Be one with you. You and me and you. It's grace. And if you think it's different, don't believe a syllable of it. For he seeks and saves what's lost. Life cut off. Over and out. He raised the dead. Spiritual death on the way to eternal death. And then he marries you. He says, oh my bride, you're so bad, but I'm going to wash you with my precious blood. And I wash all your sins away. And if Christ is revealed to your soul, you know that he has washed all your sins away. And you became in him raised from the death to be a new person. He says, but oh my dear naked bride, you know in the Song of Songs, because before Christ encountered her, the ministers took all their clothes away. Yeah, Pastor, you shouldn't preach that. Yeah, the Bible says so, so. All their righteousness. A naked sinner. Having nothing to shame. He says, I'll cover you with my clothes. In gems raiment, says, we have sung it. With my righteousness. As if you had never sinned nor done any evil. And I'll bring you to my Father's house. You have no home anymore, but I have a home for you. And in the mansion, in my Father's house, are many mansions. Come, I'll bring you my bride. May I ask you, now I have a question. Have you ever laid in the arms of the Lord Jesus spiritually? Has he kissed you with the kisses of his mouth, the promises of the gospel? Are you married to him by faith? Not by your faithfulness, by his faithfulness. And to answer it by a given faith, united to him. He in me and I in him. That's a spiritual marriage. Oh, my bride, your beauty. Go to the whole book of Songs, and you read it. That's the marriage feast. When the prodigal came home, they had a marriage feast. He was married to the Lamb, the risen Savior, the living Savior, who died my death and raised my resurrection. And he is raised for my righteousness to apply it to me by a true faith. Cover me with his right, with his obedience. I have no obedience. He is my obedience. Oh, my dear congregation, we have to meet God at the judgment seat. And it might be soon for you. Are you covered with the Lord Jesus? If not, you could get it today. If God allows it. How do you know? Congregation, if you're dead, you can invite the Lord. Today they are dead sinners and can invite the bridegroom. No, he has to raise you from death in his resurrection. Why do you say this, Pastor? I say to you, dear friend, it's all of grace. God raises dead, worthy, hell-worthy sinners by the power of his resurrection, overflowing power. Are you married? You know the best day in your life was your marriage day or not? I was looking forward to it. We prepared our homes, married it, bought some furniture, a house. And then I had to go to the lawyer, no, to the government in Holland, and then asking a blessing upon my marriage. And when it was over, that was the best moment of the day. To be together. Yeah, we had to have a dinner and we had to have visitors, I know, but I thought, I hope it passes soon. If you're married to the Lord Jesus, you're united with him. And you will be fruitful. By him. Well, there's the Bible saying, yeah. who is raised from the dead, a living Savior. A living Savior, dear friend, who raised you from the death and judgment, set you free, says, I have loved you with an eternal love, and I'll bring you home. He loved them while they were still sinners, long-suffering, and goodness showing to them. Oh, my dear bride, I've loved you from eternity, therefore my Father has drawn you unto me. Oh, my bride, the world doesn't like you much. They make you ashamed. But I love you with an eternal love. And although you have nothing than sin and nakedness, can't stand before you, I wash you with my precious blood. And I clothe you with the clothes of righteousness. And I indwell you with my Spirit to be fruitful to the kingdom of God. It's not my invitation. I always say to the girls in my family, I said, wait for a husband. A husband wants to conquer you. And if he is not able to conquer you, it won't last very long. If you propose yourself and say, here I am, and I'm girls, don't. Christ is conquering sinners by conviction and drawing goodness and overcoming them, for he is stronger than me. And now I speak to the children of God, and I speak out of a normal example of a marriage. I remember the day that I had to go to my wife's house with a bunch of flowers. No custom. I started early morning. What a day. What a day. I pushed the ring bell at her house, and there she came. All the people around it didn't matter so much to me, but my bride was my all in all. Christ's bride is his all in all. And therefore, the bridegroom is for the bride and all in all. Such one is my lover, and I'm beloved by him. May I ask you, have you met him? O royal bride, in his resurrection, as your eternal husband, as your eternal husband, bringing you to the marriage feast of the Lamb in heaven, in glory. Married to another, to him who's raised from the dead, to clothe me, and I've said it already, with my resurrection, with my righteousness, his righteousness, as if I had never sinned, a new creature in Adam in Christ, never done any evil, being made perfect in him. Paul speaks about it in the 6th chapter already. And my dear congregation, now I have a question, because some people question this, even while I preach. Do you know why you question it? You never experienced it yourself. If you would have experienced this, you wouldn't question it. You would wholeheartedly say, yes, he loved me, therefore I love him. He embraced me in my misery. He is raised, and therefore in his resurrection I'm raised from hell and death. And if you question it, it's probably the case.
and you don't know it yourself. If you would know it, if you would know that marriage feast of the Lord Jesus with your soul, you would say, how long does it take to be there? Paul says, to be with Jesus is far the best. I'm longing for my husband. But I have to be here to do my duty. But not by compelling duties, but by gracious privileges. Not what I must, but what God allows me to do. By His Spirit. Therefore, the Bible says, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth works. No. Fruits of love. That's so nice in a marriage. Love is fruitful if God gives it. We make it today not fruitful anymore. We make love unfruitful. But if you're really loving each other, the woman wants to be fruitful. And the bride wants to be fruitful. But not by their love, but by the love of the husband. And their love contrary to it, or united with it. Do you know it's not a wonder that even in the normal marriage, God makes love fruitful. And if you're distorting it, changing it, that saying to the Lord, thou hast done it right. Therefore, the Bible speaks about the works of the flesh. And they bring you to death. We have dealt with it in the last chapter. But the Spirit brings forth fruits. And the fruits are the fruits of the communing love. For the law is fulfilled in one word. What's the word? Love. 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 1 Corinthians 13. For the love doesn't seek its own. It seeks the other. If there is really love in a marriage, what is really love in a marriage? Do you know? Naturally. Make the other happy. Not first yourself. If you're really married, you have one desire to make the other happy. And in her or his happiness, you are happy. Therefore, the bride rejoices in the husband. And the husband rejoices in the bride. Love is not seeking your own interests. I've seen marriages started with self-interest. Do you know? If it's not obeyed properly, it self-love turns into hate. Oh, this is not good, and that's not good, and then, oh man, oh man. But see, Christ wants to make his happy, joy, his bride, glorious, without spot or wrinkle. That's his joy. To present them without spot or wrinkle to his Father. He denies himself for the glory of his Father, presenting Adam back, restored Adam in paradise, praising God here in beginning. and in eternity, in eternity glorious. May I ask some words, is your marriage fruitful in love, or are you afraid of love to be fruitful? Do you use it for your own interest, not to be fruitful? I tell you something, I was a minister in Leerbrücken. It was a kind of revival. On Monday morning, early, the farmers stood at the wayside talking about sermons. Really, I'm not boasting, I didn't do it. But we became the congregation with the biggest families in the Netherlands. And those who had no children for 5 years got children again. To be born to eternal life. I hope so well. Love is fruitful. Not seeking your own interests, but the welfare of the church, the welfare of your bride. Christ is seeking the welfare of his church to be a fruitful congregation. And I can bring a fruit to myself. I can. If God doesn't allow me to be fruitful, if it's not by the fruit of the Spirit moving me, dying to self, living to him, it's worthless. You make thousands of promises, but you don't pay. But if God works it in your soul, it will happen to you. For his work is irresistible. Irresistible! You can't stop the Spirit, O child of God. He moves you in his ways. And you sometimes grieve him, I know. But he makes you grieving that you grieved him. Evangelical repentance, crying, begging for mercy after grace. For when you were in the flesh, that's in your old nature, and I'll come to it in the second part of this chapter, because I said it's 100% grace and 100% sin. It's not 50% grace and 50% sin. No. It's all of grace and it's all sin in me. But it's all outside of me and him. That's it. But when you were in the flesh, the motions of sin. Sin moved. When you're in the flesh and under the law, do you know? If you're under the law, you want to resist. Sin moves you. I always say to my children, you're like pigs. And I'm like a pig. Let me say, I'm like a pig. If you pull the pig at his tail, he's going the other way around. And if you push him on his mouth, he's going the other. We're always against the law. When the law is preached, do you know? Resistance starts in the congregation. It evokes my evil nature. It rekindles the wrath. And Christ's head and shining faith as the bridegroom of the church is darkened. He said, you want to do it yourself? Go ahead. You promised a lot you didn't pay, man. You can. You need the moving power, the living power of the Spirit. By repentance and faith, walking. And he will use you. You won't use God. Stop that idle talking. You use God. I sometimes think I'm a kind of a broom. Sometimes he puts me in the corner. He says, you're too high-minded. I stop. And when he puts you in the corner, you start crying. He says, Lord, where art thou? Hide not thy face from me, please. For only in thy presence I can live and die. How is it with your soul, child of God, in our midst? Do you have communion with Christ? Have you tasted his love? When was the last time that you tasted such a love of him? Were you embraced by the Spirit? When you had your last communion that broke your heart. And if that love is entering into your soul, you can't bear it. It breaks you. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. Oh, my dear congregation, do you know these things? Or is Christ just a name? And Jesus just a name? Is he your bridegroom? Has he become your bridegroom? You're all in all. And are his interests more important than everything you want to have? I read if Hermsen, he says, when Christ entered to my soul, I said farewell to the world. If I had tasted that love, the world could never give it to me. Even my wife can't give it to me. For that love is eternal. And that grace is powerful. O royal bride, give heed. And to my words attend. He speaks to your soul very nicely. Sometimes he approaches you and challenges you for love's sake. Not to walk away. And to my words attend, says Christ. For Christ the King forsake the world and every sinful former friend. They are not less important. But I said to my family the day of my marriage, although I was loved by my parents and we had a good home, but I got the best home since I married to my wife. I got the best home since Christ is married to me. The best days. And I'm not under the law, but under grace. And grace obliges me more than the law. For the love of Christ constrains me. And if you're going wrong, you repent before you sin. Sometimes while you sin. And if it's grace, after sin, say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner, but thou art my husband, my all in all. Now there are people not married yet. But you can be spiritually married as the spiritual bride of my precious husband, who is my head, my caretaker, my bringing home one. One day he'll wait for me to raise my body out of death, that I by body and soul may enter the house of my Father, in which are many mentions. Oh friend, are you ready? Have you been kissed by the Lord Jesus? Embraced? Clothed? Covered? Covered. For the love of Christ constrains me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, please apply it. Embrace sinners here. Please. You came to which end? Promised the Lord never paid. That even feeling their enmity in their own hearts, when it's spoken about grace and Christ, but enemies will be reconciled and ungodly redeemed. Please, Lord, remember our children. They can be attending the bride, being a spiritual bride, young and old. And we are in Christ Jesus, we're all the same age, eternal creatures for eternity. Have an eternal life. Remember us in mercy, forgive our sins by hearing. And if there is a sinner who is really angry, please kiss him. He loses it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing lastly 427, the 8th stanza. 427, the 8th stanza. Thou art my God, I will extol thee. And majesty, thy majesty. And what's following?
home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God. Love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.